Good morning.
So, as you know that 2 months ago we started a sermon series under the title, How to Handle Change. And so this morning I have a good news and bad news. The bad news is that that series is going to over. This is the last sermon. And I know for some of you that's such a bad news too, right? And so we started to talk about anticipating change, knowing the fact that in the life in which we live, there are constantly changes are happening. Second thing we talked about, accepting the change. In other words, changes will take place whether we like it or not, and either we can create our own different reality and live in that reality where we think the changes has not taken place, but we can live in the reality where we know that change has taken place, and so accepting the change. We also talked about adjusting to the change. There are two types of changes we talked about, positive change and negative change. Positive change are the changes we want in our life. For example, getting married or having a child, those are the positive changes we want, but still those changes need adjustment. Amen? How many of you know that? All right. And negative changes are the changes we don't want. We hate those changes, like experiencing sickness in our life. And how to handle those changes, how to adjust into those changes. And we talked about enjoying the change. The longer we will live in those changes, at one point, we will able to see God's goodness in those changes. We will able to enjoy some of those changes. And then we talked about the fact that till then, how changes are affecting us. In other words, we don't have any power over those changes. It just happened to us and we can only respond to those changes. But on last Sunday, we talked about that as a Christian, how God has given us power to change, make change happen. And we talked about changing ourselves, you know, and we talked about the saying of Gandhi where he says that you be the change you want to be in this world. Amen? And so if you want this world to be nice, be a nice person. If you want to be this world to be loving world, be a loving person. If you want this world to be kind world, be kind person. In other words, let that change start from you. And today is the last sermon and we are going to talk about make change in the world where we live. Amen? Because not only is it imperative that we be the change person, but we make change happen around the world and in the community where we live. And so we are going to talk about it this morning. And I'll ask Carr to read scripture for us, and he's going to come and read scripture for us this morning.
Scripture this morning is from Acts 4, verses 32 to 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
So the first way we can make change happen is show up. Can we have that, please? Show up. Find the cause you are called for and be committed. Show up for it. Show up for the cause. Turn to your neighbor and said, neighbors, show up. You know, in the scripture we just read, that a lot of people started to come together because they were committed to the fact that they wanted to worship God, but they also wanted to live a very generous life. Amen? And they realized that I want to be a generous person and I want to experience generosity. Where can I find this group of people? And as soon as they realized there's a group of people coming together as a Christian believers, and they wanted to show up for it. They wanted to be part of it. You know, I remember about the last election. After the election, a lot of people were unhappy, and they were on the street, if you remember that, right? And interestingly, when a reporter went out and asked a lot of young people there, those who were out on the street, and he asked simple questions. So how many of you went for voting this time? How many of you actually did vote? And guess what? How many people voted there? Zero. Thousands of people, and hardly anybody voted. Now, they are not happy with what happened into the country, but they did not show up. So many of us complain about what is happening into the city. But how many of us actually go into the city councils except John, right? So let's give a big hand to John. And he ran many, many times for a different position. Now, it is disheartening when you lose, right? You put all the money, all the effort. But number one, dear people of God, when you see a need, when you see something is wrong, when you think like this could be better, or maybe I would do it differently, may I encourage all of us to show up. That is one way to make difference. The second one is speak up. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, speak up. You know, when you show up, but then when you don't speak up, then it doesn't make any difference, right? If you don't speak, no one knows what you're thinking. How many of you know that secret? Influence thinking of others. Speak up. You know, I remember in the previous church where there was this particular person, she felt strongly that women should be given voice to speak. And amen to that. I strongly believe in that. And so often, every time when I have a conversation with her, she would bring this point, and I realize she's a very smart woman. And I asked her, for how long have you been at this church? And she said, around 20 years. And I asked, seems like you have a lot to say, and seems like you know how to say it. And I want to invite you to preach. Can you preach? And she said, like, okay, what Sunday will work? I said, well, how about this particular Sunday? Well, my family is coming from outside, so I cannot do it. Well, I understand that. How about the next Sunday? Well, next Sunday I'm going out, so that's not going to work. Well, how about the Sunday after? Well, that's not going to work. And then I asked her a bunch of questions, and I realized that she wanted voice, but actually she didn't want to speak up. She had a message. She wanted to communicate something important, but when given opportunity, she didn't speak up. And sometimes, the way we speak, dear people of God, nobody can hear that. We shout or we scream, but we don't speak up. And second way to influence people, second way to make change in the community where God has placed us, is to speak up. Interesting scripture in the Bible, like, you know, when Peter and John, when they did miracle, people started to come together. And in the Message version, it says, interestingly, when Peter saw congregation taking place, he stood up and he started to speak. In other words, as soon as Peter saw an opportunity to speak up, he did speak up. When we look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, We hardly see any advertisement about Jesus coming to a place for speaking engagement. He goes there and he starts speaking up. In fact, at one time he wanted to spend time with his disciples and he took them out on the mountain. Only 12 disciples with him. And I think he wanted to spend some quality time with them. And as they were just having conversations, slowly people started to come and it became a big crowd. And that's where we have the Sermon on the Mount, the most profound sermon Jesus ever preached. In other words, that wasn't the ideal time for Jesus' life at that time. But when he saw the crowd, he realized this is a great opportunity for me to speak up. And he did speak up. And so, dear people of God, let us make a difference by speaking up. The third one is look up. Look up. Philippians 4:13. Can you all read that? Let's all read together, shall we, that scripture? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's read it again. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Depend upon God. In other words, the difference we want to make, dear people of God, in this world are not our differences, are not our preferences, are not only things we like to see happening. But we look up to God and we ask God that, God, what is that you have for me in this world that I would make a difference in this world? Amen? There is an interesting saying, it says that God's work done in God's way will not lack God's support. God's work done in God's way will not lack God's support. In other words, if you're doing God's work and if you're doing in God's way, God will definitely come down and help us. Now, once in a while, we want to do our work and we want God's support, and that might not work because sometimes God's idea might be different than ours. How many of you know that? And sometimes we want to do God's work, but then we want to do in our way. And that's not going to work. And so let us look up to God and ask God, God, what you have for me in this world? What kind of difference you want me to make? Yes, as a person, as a human being, I have personal agendas. I have personal desire, but I want to give up my desire to you so that you would give me your vision, your idea, your plan for my life so that I can make difference in the world where you came, where you given to me. The next one is team up. Find a group of people whose goal is similar to yours. Turn to your neighbor and says, neighbor, team up. In other words, what he says is that sometimes we want to do a work, but then we need somebody's help. You know, if you remember a few years ago, Bill Gates, he wanted to eradicate malaria from Africa. And Bill Gates thought like, hey, I have plenty of money. But guess what? My money is not going to make any difference if I don't have a common-minded people with me at that time. And he reached out, he thought about it for a while, and he realized that United Methodist Church in Africa are one of the most collective and connected group in there. And he realized, if I want to eradicate malaria from Africa, I can team up with this group of people. I can team up with United Methodist Church. I might not agree with them in everything I do, everything they believe in, because I am a Jew, they are Christian and all that. But guess what? For this particular cause, I am going to team up with them. I'm going to work with them. And together, actually, United Methodist Church in Africa and all over the world, and Bill Gates, his foundation, they almost eradicated malaria from Africa. Amen? And if you remember, as a church, I think you contributed significantly in those times. I remember Reading Church, we contributed in other churches. In other words, like we're thinking like, this is the cause we can work together. This is a cause we can team up with one another. In other words, dear people of God, when we want to make a difference in this world, let us be open to team up with other people, other like-minded people. In other words, it doesn't mean that we agree with them 100%. It doesn't mean that we support everything they do and everything they communicate and all that. What we're saying that on this particular cause, we want to team up with you. And so I want to encourage you this morning that what is that cause God has put in your heart and you are ready to team up with somebody else, an individual, a group of people, even a faith community around us, that you would say like, well, I am going to team up with you. You know, when William Carey, in 17th century, when he came to India, he is known as the father of modern mission. When he came from England to India, and he was just a young missionary in India, and one of the evenings when he was, you know, he was just sitting outside of his house, and he saw there was a procession, you know, the procession was going on, and it was the death of a husband. And, you know, in India, we cremate people, right? And so as he was cremated, his wife was thrown into that fire too. And it is called sati in India. It is a Hindu ritual in those times which existed that when husband dies, wife would die with him. In other words, they will remain together because they believe in an afterlife, right? And his wife will remain with him forever and ever. And of course, it's a very, very, very cruel practice. And when William Carey, he saw that, he realized this is drastically wrong. There is something wrong with this thing. And he thought about it. He wanted to make difference. He went and he talked with some people. Nobody supported his idea. And then he realized, maybe I can go and find another Hindu scholar who might think with me, who might think like me, and we can work together. And eventually he reached out to a guy named Raja Ram Mohan Rai. He is a Hindu scholar in Bengal. And they worked together and eventually they eradicated this inhuman practice from Indian society. Now, a lot of people, they don't give much credit to William Carey, but it doesn't matter. As long as that cruel practice was ended. Amen? Now, I'm sure as a missionary at that time, he must have had so many reservations to work with somebody who is Hindu, somebody who doesn't share his philosophy, somebody doesn't share his idea about God and all that. But he realized that if I just do it on my own, this is not going to work out. I have to team up with somebody else. And so, dear people of God, find a cause and figure it out with whom you'll team up. The fifth one, never give up. Never give up. Turn to your neighbor and says, neighbor, never give up. Everything can look like a failure at some point. How many of you know that? We all have been into the cause, into the places where I feel like this isn't going anywhere. This is not going to work out at all. You know, I remember when we started our young adult gathering on the second meeting, there were four of us. Now, I told you often, right, that young adult gathering, we have to have people between age of 18 to 40. And we were four of us, and none of us were age of 18 to 40. We were all above 40. And, you know, we met with our church member, and we had such a great time of conversation and all that. It was a little bit disappointing, discouraging. But guess what? We did not want to give up. This is a wonderful cause and we want to continue it growing. Amen? There are times, dear people of God, that I've been tuned into the meeting that I was the only person there in that meeting for 2 hours. There are times I have traveled for 2 hours to go someplace and there is nobody else. And yes, there is a tremendous temptation to give up. But do not give up. Never give up. You know, I have two amazing sayings from Nelson Mandela. It says, it always seems impossible until it is done. Amen? It always seems impossible until it is done. The second one, a winner is a dreamer who never gives up. I like that. A winner is a dreamer who never gives up. In other words, when God has given you cause, you will feel discouragement. You want to give up right in the middle. And in those times, never give up. Keep on the work which God has called you to do. You will have opposition, let me tell you. People who were friends once upon a time with you, they might become your enemies. People whom actually you want to help, they might become your enemies. And of course, we have seen that in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? To whom he actually came to save, they were the one who eventually crucified him. And so you will have tremendous temptation as you are working for God, but never, 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 never give up. Because sometimes God wants us to be there to just keep the chain going so that next generation will come and they will make a difference. Next group of people will come and they will have a little bit different idea and they will make sure that things will go on. There are so many stories when we think about that, how people who didn't give up eventually became victorious, how they were able to make such a great difference. I think it is said about the person who made this bulb, light bulb, like he tried hundreds of times and it failed every time. And somebody asked him, they're like, so it seems like you fail all the time, right? Like you fail 200 times. Is it true? He said, no, I just found out how to not do it 200 times. And then maybe next time I'll do it, it will work. Never, never give up, dear people of God. You know, when I think about life of St. Paul, then how many times he was isolated in his life. He was alone in the prison. He was alone by himself. There was no support to him at all. He didn't give up. And within short time, within 100 years, the gospel was preached at so many places around the world. So again, whatever your cause is, never give up, especially to you, John. Never give up. You tried many times and you fail, and like you're like, okay, this isn't working financially, this isn't feasible, this isn't really right for me. Never give up. Okay? So what are the four things or five things to remember? Tell me one by one. First one. Amen. What's the second one? Amen. The third one. The fourth one. And fifth one. Amen. You guys are going to make a big difference. Amen. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you so much for this wonderful time you've given us to come together. Lord, you invite us in your presence to charge so that, Lord, as we get charged from here, we go out and make difference, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we would show up, that we would look up, we would team up, we would speak up, and Lord, we would never give up. And when we go through this temptation and trials, when we almost feel like giving up, give us strength, walk with us, hold our hand, so that we would continue walking with you in your glory to make a difference in this world. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.